Pray with me. God, I pray that you would speak through me and that these words would be filled with your truth and point to you alone. And I pray for everyone here, God, that you may open their ears to hear what you would speak to them and open their hearts to receive that. In your name we pray, amen. Today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So there's a lot that Jesus is commanding us and telling us to do there, a lot that he's telling us. And primarily, I'm going to focus on the disciple-making aspect of that and making disciples. I think one thing that we're all well aware of is that walking this Christian life is hard, and at times it's confusing. Understanding what we need to do to grow deeper in our faith and closer to God can be hard. And without someone to guide us, that can be what we need to do can be unclear. An illustration of this in my own life is from playing guitar. I've played guitar for around 3 years, and I only had a teacher for a very brief amount of time, like 2 weeks or something, but it wasn't my thing. But so during that time, I've been trying to become a better musician, and a lot of the time, as I go and play and practice, there's no clear structure in my practice, and that leads to a lack of improvement. The time I spend practicing, while it's fun and I enjoy it, sometimes doesn't lead me to become better. And because I don't have that structure, because I didn't have a teacher to help me figure out what I need to do to get better, I'm probably half the guitarist that I could be with a teacher. And that's not a complaint. I very much enjoy not having a teacher. But I think that just shows a parallel to our faith. Without someone to help us understand what we need to do, it can take us a lot longer to get where we want to go. I think a place where this is especially prevalent in our lives is, I like to call them mountaintop moments. Maybe we just went on a retreat, or we served someone, or had a new deep conversation with someone about God, and we're just filled with this fire for God. The passion that we have is just so much more, more magnified. And as we leave that moment of the mountain, I guess, and like go down the mountain, the questions start to come in, and we start to get lost, and the fire can start to fade. Some of the questions can be like, how much should I read my Bible? Like when we're on fire, we want to do everything we can to get closer to God, so we want to read our Bible as much as we can, but then it doesn't become attainable and we get confused. How much do we actually need to read it? How much do we need to read it to grow? Is there something wrong that this fire is fading? Is there something wrong when I don't even feel this fire for God? What do I do when I come down that mountain and I feel alone? Maybe I just left a community of believers at a retreat and I feel alone. What do I do then? And how do I bring God into my relationships, these relationships that I do have here? Those are just some of the questions that can come in, and without being able to understand them, it can hold us back. Another illustration of this I have is from my robotics team last year. Basically, the way the robotics season works is that there are a couple different competitions throughout the year, and if you win at one of those competitions, you make it to the state competition, and then if you win at the state competition, you make it to the world competition. And we decided and we were excited to build a robot as quick as possible and qualify at this first competition, because we knew it would be a little easier, because people would be taking longer to build their robot, and robots wouldn't be as fully built. And then we would have this time later to relax and enjoy the process of building a good robot for state. But it didn't quite work out that way. As we started to build the robot, parts didn't fit together, components didn't work, and We eventually got it to work, but not until like the end of the season, much less the first competition. And that's because we didn't have anyone to guide us, to answer those questions that we had, to help us fit those parts together. And I think the same can be true for our faith again. A way I think about our faith sometimes is it's like a Lego set or a model airplane or something like that, model car. And we're trying to assemble it into something. And we have this picture of Jesus as something to assemble it into. But we don't have the instructions sometimes, or we have them and we don't understand them. And that is a challenge. There's a story in Acts chapter 8 about Philip and this important man or official called a eunuch. And the story goes, this eunuch is sitting in his cart reading the scriptures of Isaiah, and at the same time Philip is walking nearby. And the Spirit tells Philip to go and stand near the cart, and Philip goes over there and hears this man reading the scripture of Isaiah and asks him, "Do you understand the scriptures that you're reading?" And the man replies in verse 31, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" How can we understand unless someone explains things to us? How can we answer these questions without someone to explain them to us and help us understand? That's where discipling comes in. Discipling allows us to be able to understand and gather the information we need to answer these hard questions. And one amazing place where I've gotten to answer so many of these questions and gotten the support to go deeper in my faith is youth group. It's an amazing community that I've been in for the past 6 years, ever since I was old enough. And even before then, this whole entire church, through Sunday school and church each Sunday, I've been able to form the building blocks for my faith throughout countless lessons and sermons, and I'm just so grateful for that and the impact it has had on me. I would not be the person I am today if it had not been for that. And that's just such an important thing. I mean, I'm sure each of you guys have your own story about how Sunday school and this community has impacted your own lives. But at the same time, I think we need a little bit more. Our life doesn't just happen on Sundays, it happens throughout the whole week. So we need people to walk alongside us and encourage us and answer those questions that we have throughout the week instead of just on Sundays. And again, Sunday school and like this community is so valuable. I'm not trying to diminish that in any way. But I saw this analogy that compared the things we gain in sermons and from church on Sunday to puzzle pieces. And we're trying to assemble them into this picture of a godly life. And without someone to help us assemble it throughout the week, we can struggle to put it together. So once we acknowledge the importance of discipleship and that we need to disciple others and walk alongside them, the next logical question is, what do we need to do to disciple others? And I think two key components are found in the story of Philip and the eunuch. The first one is at the start, when Philip is walking by the cart and the Spirit tells him in verse 29 and 30. It says, "The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot." And it continues going on, but I think that right there is something that is so important. The Spirit told Philip to go and he ran. He didn't drag his feet or hesitate. He made himself so available and ran without hesitation. We need to do that too, and by making ourselves available, God can work through us. And because Philip made himself available, he was there to answer the questions that this man had. And then after Philip answered these man's questions, he also shared the gospel to him and helped him grow in understanding. And because of that, the man professed his faith in Jesus. And the story ends with the man rejoicing, and I think he was dancing too. I could be making that up, but Philip was only able to teach this man these things and share this gospel with him because he had his own relationship with God, because he had his own understanding of the scriptures and the gospel. If Philip had not had this understanding and this knowledge of God and relationship with God, then no one would have been able to answer this eunuch's questions. So those are the two key components, I believe, of discipleship: making ourselves available and having our own relationship with God, and then God will work through us and allow us to bring others closer to him and help them grow in understanding. But I think we can get caught up and have in the second part of that, of having our own relationship with God and our own understanding. We can think we need to have it all figured out or know it all before we teach others, before we guide others. But I think that that is an incomplete truth. Earlier in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus just rose from the dead, and when he sees his disciples, he said to them in verse 10, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And then when he appears to them in verse 17, it says, "When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." So going back to verse 10, in this context, brothers referred to all the followers of Christ, everyone who believed in him and trusted in him, not just the core 12 disciples who had walked alongside Jesus and who he had instructed and discipled himself, but everyone. And then in verse 17, when it says some doubted, immediately after that, Jesus went into commanding them to disciple others. So he knew that they hadn't even worked out their own faith yet. He knew that many of them hadn't been discipled, that many of them hadn't been instructed by him, but he knew that they had trust in him and that they were making themselves available to disciple others. And he knew that's all that they needed. And that's all that we need today. We don't need to have it all figured out. And I think one other important thing about discipleship is that it prepares the people we disciple to disciple others too. Jesus commanded us to disciple others and teach them to obey everything he commanded us. And since he commanded us to disciple, we should teach them to disciple others too. So discipleship doesn't just stop with one person discipling another. Jesus discipled the 12 disciples, and then they went out and discipled numerous other people. And it just continues to grow from there. And it can today too. So I encourage you today to think about who you can disciple around you, who you can walk alongside throughout the week, who you can encourage and help piece together the puzzle pieces of their life, who you can help grow in understanding of God and grow deeper in their relationship. Pray with me. God, thank you so much for this amazing day and this wonderful community that you've given us, where we get to worship you and learn about you every Sunday. Thank you for all the people that you've placed in our lives to encourage us and support us, and all the people that you've helped, that you put in our life to help us assemble this puzzle of our life. And I pray that you help us do the same for others too. Help us make ourselves available and continue to work on our relationship with you so that we can do your work and be your hands and feet, God. In your name we pray, amen.